What is good? Welcome to the second episode of The Weigh-In. I am Michael Winston, your podcast host. I just realized I will be talking to myself a lot today and some further episodes, but today we don't have a caller and we don't have really any interviews set up, so I do have a bunch of segments lined up for you today. And these segments will go into this first All Cannabis podcast. Yes, all these topics we will be talking about today are about cannabis and cannabis news. I wouldn't call myself the typical consumer. I would call myself more along the lines of an activist. So I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable about the plant and about all these topics. And I know that I do not know everything, so if you can, or if you would like to correct me, please get in touch with me through one of my social medias. Leave comments, message me with all the information you can, because I like to learn as much as the next person. So, without further ado, let's get into this first song and let's start this podcast. And welcome back to The Weigh-In. Let's get into this first topic. I would like to start out with something light, you know. New strains. Every week, Leafly puts out a lineup of new strains that some of these growers have developed. And I think it's a pretty cool thing, especially because this plant is evolving and growing every single day, you know. And I think it's important that we have apps like Leafly to update us when there are, you know, updated breeds and updated strains. And it's important for some medical patients and some recreational patients as well. You know, just to know what you're consuming and what you expect with every consumption that you have of this plant, you know. The more you can understand this plant, the more you can live a better day-to-day life as, you know, a regular consumer or a quote-unquote stoner. But let me just get into this list. The first strain in question is a strain called Jagoo. J-A-H space G-O-O. Jagoo. It is an indica-dominant strain with a bit of a weird origin. It's a cross between purple jasmine and goo, hence the name Jagoo, which transported to North America by Canadian Vietnamese veterans returning from Southeast Asia. Now, this strain in question expresses pretty alluring qualities from both of its parents, you know, including bright pink hairs, you know, just enormous trichomes. And this strain in particularly, its effects are very calming, it's very relaxing, perfect for dealing with stress and sedating pain. I would recommend this for anybody with depression, anxiety, anybody who has any body ailments that needs to be healed or relieved. Or for all the recreational patients out there, this is a good strain to, you know, just lock in the couch and watch a movie and relax with your significant other. Or, you know, just after a long day of work, this will relieve you from all your daily pains and ailments. You know, it's like that glass of wine at the end of work or that fresh can of beer at the end of your 8-hour shift, you know. But you know, it's way healthier. But anyway, the next strain in this list that I have right here is called Dream Machine. Dream Machine is a strain by Heavyweight Seeds. It's a hybrid cross of various landrace genetics. And this strain is more of a bedtime strain, you know. It's kind of like the Jagoo, just in a sense of the feeling, you know. It's indica dominant, you know, and all indicas will lock you into the couch. Remember that, okay? That's how you tell the difference between an indica and a sativa. Indica is in the couch. Sativa will wake you up, all right? Anyway, so basically back to Dream Machine. It's a bedtime strain, and it's bred from Afghani, Indian, and Brazilian strains. And it's known to, you know, flourish more when it's kept under 5 feet. You know, it's sweet, smooth, and it has an earthy flavor. And pretty much, just to wrap up this strain, it's a mix of old world, you know, genetics, and it's a pretty restful combination of flavors and effects, you know. But I would recommend this for people who have insomnia, for people who can't really get to sleep or who are irritable at night. Anybody who needs to calm down, same as last one. I would recommend this for, you know, movies, if you're, you know, a recreational user. Also, you know, just to lay in bed, cuddle. This will not get your heart rate going. This will take your anxiety down. If this is going to put you to sleep, it will put you to sleep. This is probably nothing. I've never tried this strain, but this sounds like something that you... It's from the Afghani mountains, so anything up there is very cushy. It's very pungent, and it will definitely feel like a kush when you hit it, but it's a hybrid. Anyway, the next strain in question is our first sativa. It's our first sativa strain in this list of new strains. It's called Chocolate Skunk. Chocolate Skunk is an uplifting, pungent cross of stimulating cannabis genetics. And this is a combination of an earthy, chocolatey spice of chocolope, which is a very popular strain, sativa, and it has the aroma of skunk. It's crossed with skunk, hence the name Chocolate Skunk, which is another pretty high testing sativa. This strain carries combinations of euphoric effects, physical stimulation. This will cure some fatigue. You know, it makes you feel good. This is going to be one of your upper strains, you know. This is one that you might wake up and hit a bowl of, or you're going to go out with some friends and you just want to feel a little bit better. You want to get in the mood. You want to get going. You want to be talkative. You hit one of these strains and you hit some Chocolate Skunk and you will feel good to go. The next strain in question. This is a funny name. Donkey Butter. Picture somebody saying, "I'm smoking on some donkey butter." That's hilarious. Anyway, Donkey Butter is a cross between a grease monkey mother and a triple OG father. The strain is a gangster, man. Don't fucking play with this strain. And if you got my joke, you're corny as fuck, because that's one of the corniest jokes I've ever made. Anyway, this strain, this is one of the strains that when you walk into somebody's house or somebody's apartment and you have it on you, they're going to tell you that it's loud. It smells like forest. It smells like earth. It smells piney. And this is one of those strains, again, that leans farther on the sedation side, you know. It's very good for anxiety. It's very good for depression. Also, mental dullness, any physical pains, any blunt stress or pain, you know. And, you know, it's just good for day-to-day living and just de-stressing, detoxifying your mind. And it's a real... mind clearer. It'll clear up your mind. Not only that, but it'll put you down a little bit. Not all the way down, but it will sedate you a little bit. This next strain we have is called Banjo. It's a hybrid cross between Boost and Tangelo. This strain is perfect for enhancing your mood and improving your outlook on your life. Well, not just your life, but you get what I'm saying. You know, your day-to-day outlook, your mood. It smells like fresh grated cheese and tangerine zest, but it still tastes sweet and piney. The first effect you will feel is a euphoric feeling, you know. But as that sets in, a little bit of sedation, a moderate sedation, begins to take effect. Not too much. It's tolerable. It's functional, weighing just a slightly on your eyelids and limbs. But it's good to enjoy throughout the day. It mellows you out. It improves your mood. And, you know, just all the nagging aches and pains, they just melt away. So go pick up some banjo if you need some of that good outlook on your life. But the next strain we have is another hybrid called Nana's Fix. This strain is by Pollen Nation Elite Genetics. Pollen Nation Elite Genetics. Yes, that's exactly how I read it. This strain is a cross between Grandma's Sugar Cookies from Johnston's Genetics and Loud Sour from Loud Seeds. The strain in particular produces a medium-sized yield and sweet, colorful flowers after its flowering cycle of 9 to 11 weeks. That's pretty short. If you want some bud fast, you plant this and you got some bud in 9 to 11 weeks. That's crazy. And not only that, but this is another mellow out strain. This will enhance your mood. So if you just want a better day, you know, you just want to feel good throughout your day, go get yourself some Nana's Fix, because it's Nana's Fix. And the last strain we have on this list is called Slice of Heaven. This strain is another creation by Pollen Nation's Elite Genetics out of Colorado. And this strain is a cross between Iced Grapefruit and Pollen Nation's own Squirrel Killer. And I say squirrel like that because they have it spelled S-K-W-U-R-L, squirrel, like skunk and whirl squirrel. That's weird. Anyway, this aroma is a mixture of a fuely sweet grape and like a bright citrus type of smell. You know, it's very complex and unique with the terpene profile. Slice of Heaven's flower cycle is 9 to 10 weeks. So it's another fast growing strain. And, you know, it's good for garden growers, you know. But this is another one of those mellow out strains, you know. It's citrusy, so I'm assuming that it's a sativa dominant hybrid. But other than that, it seems like a pretty good strain. I noticed that this list, number one, I'm done with the list. Number two, I'm noticing that this list is very hybrid heavy. There's 4 hybrids, 2 indicas, and 1 sativa. Which brings me to a question that I just thought about. And correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, if you have any corrections or any opinions, just hit me on any of my social medias. On Instagram, I am at the Michael Winston. On Twitter, I am at Most Weight. And on Facebook, you can just type in either Most Weight or Michael Winston. But again, back to my question. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it a stereotype, or not a stereotype, but is it a stereotype within the cannabis community that the majority of the people like indicas because of the sedation? I mean, I can understand why people would like indicas more, not only because of the sedation, but it's you can feel it more, you know, depending on who you are and, you know, just how you feel on indicas. But that's just me, you know, just correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, you can reach out on all my social medias at the Michael Winston on Instagram, at Most Weight, WEIGHT on Twitter, and Most Weight or Michael Winston on Facebook. But that will conclude this segment. I'm going to follow in with a couple more songs and be next on the next segment. And welcome back. You already know who it is. It's Michael Winston with the next segment. This next segment is going to be a regular topic as we do full cannabis episodes. This next one is stereotypes and what we can do to break them. Or in other words, debunking weed myths. So let's just hop right into it. The first weed myth we will be covering today is, does weed make you lazy? Now, I've heard this one before. I've heard it from my own parents. And you know, as a smoker or a cannabis activist, a cannabis user, a cannabis consumer, I'm pretty aware of my mental state and of my physical state before and after I have consumed cannabis. So back to the question, does weed make you lazy? No. And I explained that first part because when I said that I'm aware of my mental and my physical being, what I mean is, no, it doesn't make you lazy. There's a difference between tired and lazy. Indicas make you tired. Now, like I said earlier in my previous segment, sativas are your upper. Sativas are the ones that make you happy, the ones that make you want to go outside. And really, what people like to correlate their laziness from tiredness is, people are already lazy. Some people have like a pre-existing, or like they're pre-exposed to laziness and irresponsibility, and essentially that is what sparks the stereotype. And you know, in your mind, like, let's say I'm gonna get up and go to work without weed, right? I'm gonna get up and go to work. I have trained myself to get up when I'm lazy or get up when I don't want to, put on my clothes and carry myself to work. Okay, as a responsible human being, that's what I do. I get up, I work. Now, with my mind frame being altered by this substance, that will not take away my responsibility. Okay, it may make me tired depending on what strain I consume, but other than that, I'm completely functional. I am very responsible. I'm not lazy. And sometimes when you are lazy and you do consume the right strain of marijuana, i.e. a sativa or one of the hybrids, one of the sativa hybrids that we were talking about earlier, that can motivate you, you know, and vice versa. The people who have pre-existing conditions of laziness and irresponsibility, when you consume an indica, that's what's gonna happen. It's just gonna amplify your laziness, okay? But as a productive cannabis activist, I will not continue to perpetuate the stereotype that all stoners are lazy because we smoke weed, or all stoners are lazy because when we consume a heavy indica, we're tired. There's a difference between tiredness and laziness, like I said earlier. So that's one of the myths that really need to be debunked. Most of the stuff I do, I like to do high. I like to do under the influence of cannabis, and that's completely okay. I'm not gonna go out, I'm not gonna harm anybody. I'm also not harming myself. And that's what needs to be addressed. That's what needs to be said, and that's what needs to be demonstrated every single day by the people who do consume cannabis on a day-to-day basis. We need to prove ourselves to the people who are still on the fence about this plant, or who are completely on the right side of their view on this plant. We have to start perpetuating a view of, you know, motivation and consistency and productiveness. We have to be productive if we want to show these people that, hey, it doesn't affect the way that I think. It doesn't affect my work ethic. You know, if that's one thing that people really think that marijuana does, if that it affects your work ethic, and it absolutely does not. But that's just one of the stereotypes that we fight. The next stereotype we have is, does it affect your sleep? Does weed affect your sleep? Does it ruin your sleep? So there's a yes and a no to this question. Yes, it affects your sleep, but not in a negative way. The thing that it affects, that people think that it does affect it in a negative way, and this is up for interpretation, but it affects your REM sleep, which is basically your dreaming state. And basically, it's when you go to sleep, the THC affects it to where you don't necessarily dream, but it does affect your slow wave or your deep sleep. And what that is the sleep that you need. Really, that's the sleep that you are truly sleeping, that you're truly resting, and really that's all that matters. It affects that times 10, to be honest. You get better sleep. Now, sometimes when you wake up and you feel groggy, it'll happen, but that's when you consume too much, and you can call that like a green out, or like some people call it like a weed hangover. But it's not like any alcoholic hangover, you know. You're not going to be bending over the toilet throwing up, and you're not going to be dehydrated, you know, or anything like that. You're just going to feel like, you know, I woke up from a really, really, really long nap, and, you know, you're just going to feel a bit sleepy. But that's okay. But you can consume too much, which is why people will say that it will affect your sleep, because you can smoke a lot of weed and knock yourself out. So watch your dosing, really, when it comes to you and you not wanting to affect your sleep as you smoke. But, you know, that's pretty much it on that myth. Does it affect your sleep? Yes and no. Yes, it affects your sleep for the good. The last weed myth we are going to bust is weed and it causing anxiety. Now, any anxiety that's induced from weed is most likely a pre-existing symptom of anxiety. This is one thing that I suffer from. I have mild panic attacks. I also have a lot of anxiety, and I do keep that down by smoking weed. I do not get triggered, or my anxiety isn't necessarily triggered by sativas or anything like that. It's not that severe, but it has been triggered by marijuana before. But I really just take it how it is, and I know that in a couple minutes I'm gonna feel good. But let me get to the root of it. So basically, when people use marijuana for anxiety, most of the time they're in a legal state, and basically what that helps them with, or it opens the door for them to try new strains and new effects that may help bring their anxiety level down. And it's proven that people with high levels of anxiety who smoke a sativa, that will boost your anxiety. And really, that's just something you want to stray away from, and that's more of a discretion on you and how you gauge your anxiety. But that's nothing to blame on the plant. Just know what you're getting, know what you're consuming, and you'll be fine. Now, I do want to get into some of the benefits that marijuana does do in a sense of curing your anxiety, because I, for one, am a firsthand, I'm experienced with this feeling of anxiety, and it de-escalates because of weed, because I have consumed cannabis. So basically, I live in an illegal state. I will say that. I'm not going to tell where. But the weed that we get, the quality of it isn't bad, because most of it we get from Colorado. Other half we get from New Mexico and Colorado. But most of the strains that we get here are heavy indicas. We get a lot of Kushes. We get a lot of OGs. I live, you know, southern, obviously, but up north in my state, there's a lot of sativas, there's a lot of skunks, there's a lot of hazes, and there's a lot of sours, a lot of sour diesel. That's one thing that I get a lot up north and down south. But here where I'm at currently, there's a lot of Kushes and a lot of OGs, so whatever I get, the OGs and the Kushes, all the indicas, are going to help me with my anxiety. And it's helped quite a bit. This past, half year, I've been smoking weed on a consistent basis, and most of them are indicas. Sometimes I'll get a sativa, just depending on what my connection has. But other than that, I just been smoking a lot of indicas, and really, I just found myself more calm, more in a mellow mood. I'm able to get stuff done and not overthink things, and that's really what induces that anxiety when it comes to smoking sativas as a person who has extreme anxiety. It induces thought, and sometimes those thoughts overload and you can't handle how many thoughts you're having. Really, in that, at that point, you just need to like calm yourself down, get yourself in a room by yourself alone, close your eyes, and literally you will think your way out of all the thoughts that you have, and you'll find yourself in somewhat of a euphoric state. Because a sativa affects your head a little bit more, and as you're thinking, that's all you think about, and then you're thinking about things, which is the ultimate inception for a person who suffers from anxiety. But once you're able to harness and control exactly how you want to process your thoughts, sativas will help your anxiety. It's all in the way that you go about handling the anxiety that you're feeling at first. Because most of the time when you smoke a sativa, the anxiety is gone within the first 30 minutes. You're not going to be panicking over anxiety for like an hour, an hour and a half, 2 hours. No, it's going to be gone within the first 30 minutes. And really, if you can just get that through your head as you're having that panic attack, or as you're having that heart race, and you just chill out and evaluate where you're at, all your problems with smoking sativas are gone. And you can really enjoy that strain. But other than that, if you can't handle your own anxiety, I would stray away from anything that's sativa-like. Because that will rock your fucking world, man. It will rock your fucking world. But that is the last weed myth that I will bust for today. Does weed cause anxiety? I'm going to say about 25% of the time, because that other 25% you're able to control, and that other 50%, you're smoking an indica. And indicas will decrease your anxiety by a vast amount, a very big amount. So, that concludes this segment. We will flow into another stream of songs, and I will be back for the last segment of this podcast.
Welcome to your doom.
And welcome back to the weigh-in. We're going to get into our last segment, and that is medical cannabis versus everything else. Yes. How does weed stand up against every drug you consume? Now, I have a couple of opinions on this. Some of them contradict themselves, but I'm going to try my best to elaborate and give my full explanation on this, because it is still a delicate topic, not only in the cannabis community, but in the drug community, period, in our politics, in our government, period. There is a big war on drugs that is super obvious and everybody knows about, so I'll spare you my spiel on that. But really, I want to get down to comparing both pharmaceutical drugs and medical marijuana against each other, and essentially explaining the difference and the similarities. So let's dive right into it. Number one, marijuana. I should stop calling it marijuana, because quick backstory, marijuana was the name that, I forgot the guy's name because he's super irrelevant, but the guy that made Reefer Madness and went on the smear campaign on marijuana, he called it that because at the time that he was trying to run this propaganda campaign, it was completely legal. Actually, it was ordered for farmers to grow hemp and marijuana because of the paper. It has over 25,000 uses. Marijuana does 25,000 uses. Let that sink in. Now, pharmaceutical drugs are different. As you probably know, they make a specific drug for a specific illness or disorder. And that comes with a lot of side effects. And one of these side effects to some mental illnesses or some, you know, chemical imbalance illnesses or diseases or whatever you have, if whether it's a disorder, there's some side effects. And one big one is addiction. Some people are born with more addiction tendencies than most people, than other people. And these pharmaceutical drugs are so strong and they put so much stuff into them that not only will it make you feel good, but your dopamine levels will go through the roof. And once you don't have that dopamine anymore, it takes a long period of time to build back up your dopamine levels. And sometimes that time frame isn't long enough. Some of these people are going depressed, or they're going insane, or some of them are literally having physical addiction symptoms like cold sweats and fatigue and restlessness. They get very anxious, and it's because you're depriving them from something that you made. You know, these chemicals in your body aren't supposed to be in your body. And this is where I'm comparing, you know, big pharma drugs to medical marijuana. If you did not know, we naturally make cannabinoids in our body. And it would be a physical contradiction if we weren't supposed to ingest or consume cannabinoids within our body, because it's already in us. And sometimes people lack cannabinoids that marijuana can make up for. Not only that, but some of the effects of marijuana replicate or overperform these pharmaceutical drugs. It's much safer. Obviously, if you know what cannabis is, you should know that there is zero deaths on marijuana's record. And there's thousands and millions of deaths, not only on pharmaceutical drugs, but drugs that are legal. Alcohol, you know, even tobacco. You know, it's something that we should not be consuming because it's not already in us. We consume water on a regular basis because our body is made up of water. It's made up of H2O. Also, we have an endocannabinoid system made up of cannabinoids. Therefore, we should be ingesting and taking in cannabinoids because our body is made up for that. Now, these other drugs, putting Lord knows what, you don't know what are in these drugs, point blank, period. Okay? Whether you're getting them from a pharmacist, whether you're getting it from an illegal dealer, from the black market, you have no idea what you're getting. And even if they write the ingredients on the bottle, you have no idea what these ingredients are. Some of them you can't even pronounce, but they're prescribing to you and they act like it's going to save your life when really it will be good for one symptom, but it gives you all these other symptoms: nausea, fatigue, headaches. Some of them even have a side effect of suicidal thoughts or depression. Do you really want a side effect of suicidal thoughts and depression? Like, we're comparing, like, apples to meth here, you know? we are literally comparing apples to meth or apples to benzos, because I can be nurtured, I can heal, I can benefit from an apple, but in no way, shape, or form will I benefit from a benzo. Let me repeat that again. There is no way, shape, or form that I will benefit from a benzo. There's no way that I will benefit from a Zen. There's no way that I will benefit from Zoloft. There's no way that I'll benefit from lorazepam. Some of you guys have no idea what I just said. It's because, I mean, it, literally, if you don't know what you're taking, you shouldn't be taking it at all. I mean, all the way down to the last ingredient. If you don't know what you're taking, you shouldn't be taking it at all. And that includes coffee, that includes your food, that includes your drinks, and everything you take in and ingest. Now, most of us don't live this way. Most of us don't live day to day calculating what we do take in or what we, you know, spew out. Shoot, some people spew out stuff because it's not supposed to be in their body. But, you know, it's almost like fitting a puzzle piece in your brain cells when you smoke weed. It's we have missing cannabinoids that we could literally make up for by smoking weed. Now, I want to get on. I just want to move on to Big Pharma because that's a bigger issue for me. Basically, Big Pharma, the pharmaceutical company, the whole industry, they want to take your money. They're not here to help you. They want to take your money. They want to take your insurance money. You know, so they're going to prescribe you three to four pills off of going in saying you're feeling a little bit bad. You know, you're having anxiety attacks, and they're going to prescribe you all this stuff to where instead of making you feel better, they're just going to make you feel even more shitty. You know, I've heard stories that, yeah, they've taken their full prescription, right? And they're off it now, but they have this dopamine level decrease so much that they're just super unmotivated and super depressed. And that's not good, not only for your psyche or your mind, but your body either, because you're not getting any, you're not going to get up. You're not going to feel motivated off those benzos, you know? And, you know, I just feel like I'm preaching to the choir to anybody that's listening to this. But, you know, that's a big issue. And that's something that we need to continually fight every single day. Because whether weed is legal or not, these pharmaceutical companies are not going to stop pushing their pills on you. They're literally pushing your pills on you. Oh, what? You have a dietary problem, they're going to give you some diet pills. They're going to give you something to not want to eat. And that's not good. There's different ways, you know. I know some weed that'll help you lose some weight. Shoot. Get up. It'll make you get up and run. It'll make you want to get up and exercise. That's what some of these sativas do, you know. And that's how you should be combating your obesity that way. Some of these sativas really help your depression, really help your anxiety, and really help your mental state. And that's how you should be going about it, because there's no negative side effects. That's what we need to be getting into in this, the comparison of weed, cannabis, marijuana, whatever you want to call it, and these big pharma drugs. Some of these people are really protecting big pharma because they really believe that marijuana has no medical benefits. And that is not good. That's not good for America's health, period. We're already one of the most lazy, most obese countries in the world. But you want to put us on drugs? I mean, like real drugs, like hard benzos, like real, like chemicals? No, that's not good, okay? And everything that is wrong with America can be brought back and brought and honed in by one simple thing, and it's the government and all these industries wanting to be super greedy and just want all the money in the world. So they don't give a fuck about how you feel after you take these pills. They don't give a fuck how you feel after you take some legal caffeine pills. That's the stupidest shit I've ever seen. Really? You can die from caffeine. You know? That's a drug too. And that's something not to be taken lightly. You know? But really, on that part of this segment, I really want you to think about who you're giving your money to. I'd rather give my money to a black market weed dealer than Big Pharma, because I know if I give money to any outlet of pharmaceutical drugs, I'm just funding what they believe in. I'm funding their case, you know? I don't even take aspirin, you know? I don't take any blood thinners, you know? I just don't. And it's because I know what it does to my body. And not only that, but I'm completely against the pharmaceutical industry. Like, think about it this way. You say, oh, Michael, what about cancer? It kills cancer. We literally have cures for cancer. Number one, it's in what you eat. You can acquire cancer by eating like junk food and a lot of bread, a lot of yeast. That's how you acquire cancer. Well, one cancer. Then there's like skin cancer, all these cancers. But when we have proof that cannabis, that the CBD, when you can isolate CBD, it kills cancer cells? Come on now. You have to be either stupid or super unsensitive to people who have cancer. Because not only will it ease their pains, but it kills it too. And you don't want to do research on it at all. Not only that, but you're going to make it illegal to do research on it. That's the funny part. But I want to reiterate, it's the money that they're after, not your health. And really just my last opinion on this segment, right, is really anything that opposes natural drugs. So I don't know if I know people have heard of shrooms, magic mushrooms, or one of the off the wall ones is ayahuasca. These ones are intense, you know, and I really don't condone doing if you're not ready for them, but these ones are more to be taken to enlighten yourself, and only in the right setting at the right time, when you know you can't just take them willy-nilly. But even these drugs have shown to be beneficial to people. They're giving shroom, they're literally doing research on magic mushrooms for people who have post-traumatic stress disorder. That's a big deal. And it seems like people don't want to bring this to light because it seems too unorthodox, or people don't necessarily accept that. But I bring this up because my point is that they're doing testing on these natural drugs that do help with some of these disorders or these illnesses that people pick up, and nobody's reporting on it, you know, or big names aren't reporting on it. All they're doing is reporting on how much, or the new big pharma drug, you know. But another point that I want to make is that this is another natural substance that is helping people conquer whatever they need to conquer physically or mentally. And just like marijuana is being overlooked or being outruled, now I just want you to take everything that I've said, you know, in consideration the next time you choose between a benzo or just smoking some weed. Because now I'm not saying just skip out on your prescriptions, because I am not a doctor by all means, but some people do need these prescription pills to conquer whatever mental and physical illness or disorder that they're having. And but I'm talking in a sense to where you can actually control what you're consuming. I do want you to be mindful on what prescribed drugs you are consuming, because it's very dangerous to consume something that people just tell you to consume. That's the dangerous part of it. I encourage research. I encourage doing your own research within your belief system. And just watch out for this big pharma, because they're here to take your money, not to heal you. But this will conclude the last segment. I do want to smoothly slide into this last song. This song is pretty special, not because it is the first all cannabis episode of The Weigh-In, and not because it is one of my favorite songs, but this song is off the Bob Marley album Kaya, and it is the 40th anniversary today. That is one of my favorite albums, and I highly recommend it to anybody who out there not only just smoking, but when you get up in the morning, when you're chilling in the afternoon, and when you're relaxing at home at night. So appreciate these good sounds of Bob Marley and sit back and relax. And this will conclude the second episode of The Weigh-In. I am Michael Winston. You can reach all my social medias at The Michael Winston on Instagram, at Most Weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, Most Weight on Twitter. And on Facebook, it's either Michael Winston or Most Weight Productions. All in all, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Keep maxing, relaxing, roll up a dude, and get high, motherfucker. And until next time, get your weight up, little nigga.